Day, the Tennessee Titans taking on the New York Giants. And going to the hotline right now, Terry McCormick, publisher with TitanInsider.com, joining us. Terry, hope you had a great week. And as always, welcome back to the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Johnny.
All right, so yesterday, the forecast, for East Rutherford, New Jersey, game time, it was anywhere from 85 to 90% chance of rain, winds gusting 10 to 20 miles per hour, supposed to be in the low 40s, right? The updated forecast today, drum roll, put it this way, it's going to rain the entire game until the waning moments of the fourth quarter, 95% chance of rain for them, from the kickoff to somewhere midway through the fourth quarter.
Yeah, that doesn't sound like a whole lot of fun. That's probably the reason that the Titans practice outside today in that rain to kind of get used to the conditions that they'll be facing Sunday at MetLife Stadium.
Well, and the other part about it, too, you look at the from a vantage standpoint, here's in every stadium, every city's different with the winds this time of year. And this certainly bodes well for an Eli Manning who's used to that. This is like a no-brainer. Take care of the football, but B, make sure you establish your running attack.
Yeah, I think that's what you have to do, whether it's the Titans or the Giants in conditions like that. You want to be the team that runs the football better, and you want to be the team that doesn't turn it over and give somebody a short field to work with where they can cash in and get an easy 7 points. And then the other part of it, too, that you got to factor in there as well, if the winds are going to be blowing up to 20 miles an hour in rainy conditions, that's going to cut down on the range of your field goal kickers and your punters. So, a guy like Ryan Succop, who normally is pretty reliable from 50, maybe even 55 yards on most days under fairly normal conditions, you might have to, pull that range in of, 5 or 10 yards just to account for the conditions that are going to be there on Sunday.
Now, with that said, that does not mean you just run the ball and punt. And, we had Taywan Taylor on the show on Wednesday, and you could and talking to him, his comfort level continues to rise now that he's in his second year with the Tennessee Titans. And I go back to like what happened in the New York Jets game. Whether or not Marcus Mariota connects with Taywan Taylor or not, but I would try at least once per quarter throwing the ball deep to him in isolated coverage, and if nothing else, just to keep the defense for the Giants honest.
True, and I'll also get Corey Davis involved and try a lot of crossing routes and deep slants and post patterns and things that have a lot of routes where you do a lot of stutter stepping and turning and, making twists because, a lot of times offensive coordinators and offensive players in general will tell you that in bad weather conditions, there are sometimes big plays to be had in the passing game for this reason and this reason only, that on a wet field, the receiver should know where he's going and where the football is expected to be. The defensive back has to adjust to that, and the more cuts and turns that you have to make, the easier it is for a defender to lose ground or even fall down on a wet field. So that is advantage offense if you can get the ball out there and give your guy a chance to go get it.
It's interesting when you look at the Giants, a team that got off to an awful start. They were 1-7 through their first 8 games. Since then, they've won 4 out of their last 5. But more importantly, even when you look at the games that they've lost this year, only 2 of these games were, technically blowout losses. They lose by 15 to the New Orleans Saints, and they lost by 21 to Philadelphia. All the other games have been by 7 points or less, the ones that they lost. So they're accustomed to playing close games. And other than what happened last week when they go on the road and they're up 40-0 going into the fourth quarter against the Redskins, it's a team that's been accustomed to playing tight games. And obviously when we look at this matchup, this game on Sunday screams a very tight contest.
Yeah, the thing about the Giants, you pointed out all the close losses. With the way the NFC East is and the way the NFC in general is with that last wild card spot that the Vikings currently hold, I think at 6-6-1, the Giants are still mathematically alive. And had they been able to get things going a little earlier, just 2 weeks earlier, they'd be right in the thick of things, maybe in the driver's seat for a playoff berth. And they're playing the football after they have mainly some offensive line situations rectified. That group's playing better. Keeping Eli Manning from being just constantly harassed all the time. And, you know, a lot of people were blaming a lot of it on Eli early on when they weren't connecting in the passing game and they were losing games and turning the ball over. But I think a lot of that culpability probably was on the offensive line simply for the fact that that group was struggling to protect the quarterback and to open holes for the running back.
Odell Beckham is going to miss Sunday. You know, continued issues with the quad injury. I mean, he is the Giants' second leading receiver, you know, only second by one reception behind Saquon Barkley coming out of that backfield. You know, there's parts of me, based on what we've seen out of the Titans over the last 3 years, there's parts of me that thinks the Titans would have been better off with Beckham out there, in the sense that you don't really want them to, you know, take a breath and go, oh, we can let up a little bit because Beckham's not going to be out there. The Titans always seem to play better when they're playing a team at their best.
Yeah, it's interesting, you know, to bring that up. You know, and the Giants didn't seem to miss a beat last week against the Redskins, like you mentioned earlier, up 40-0 through three quarters without Beckham. So, you know, I think one of the it was it forced them to rely even more on Saquon Barkley and the running game, and to rely on him as a pass catcher as well. So,
are you still there? Or did we lose you? I think we had a bad connection. We just lost him, so we'll get Terry McCormick back on. You know, one of the things that we were talking about on the show yesterday that came out this week was looking at the stats and the breakaway speed and ability of the backs. And this doesn't count, you know, what these backs have done as far as with the receiving game, but most rushing touchdowns of 50 yards or more since the start of 2016, Derrick Henry of the Titans and Saquon Barkley of the Giants atop that list, both with four such touchdowns. And the intriguing part, once again, from Barkley's standpoint, he's done it all this year in his rookie campaign. We're joined again by Terry McCormick. Sorry about the connection. Weather must be having issues with us today, but welcome back, Terry.
Thanks, John. Yeah, going through a little bit of a bad stretch there, I guess, with cell service or whatever. But as I was saying, the Giants have been more reliant on Saquon Barkley than were last week. So, and if you're the Titans, you've got to do your best to slow that guy down. And they've done a decent job this year against feature running backs. You know, they held Ezekiel Elliott in check pretty well. They've held Leonard Fournette, you know, down. Obviously, they didn't against Lamar Miller in the second meeting, giving up a 97-yard touchdown run. But other than that, the Titans have been pretty decent at bottling up teams' featured running backs this year, and that's what they're going to have to do again this week.
You know, it's interesting because Eli Manning, especially earlier this year, getting a lot of flack, you know, about, the slow start the Giants went through. But here's a guy, you know, when you look at his stats this year, he's passed for 3,460 yards, 18 touchdowns, only 8 interceptions. He's completing almost 68% of his passes. So from a numbers standpoint, you know, he's obviously having a very productive year this year. But a lot of the success, you know, no one really cares about, you know, yards or any of that if you're not also being able to accumulate a few wins along the way.
Yeah, you know, Eli does seem to catch a lot of flack when the Giants don't perform well. But he has straightened things out. You know, 4 wins in the last 5 games, and they've been scoring over 30 points a game in most of those contests. So I think, you know, this offense is starting to hit its stride, probably a little too late to make any noise beyond the regular season, but certainly a positive sign if you're a Giants fan looking toward 2019 that maybe Eli Manning up as a lot of people thought he might have been after the first month of the season.
I'm also interested to see how Derrick Henry responds with his very first game after setting the franchise record for most rushing yards in a game with what he was able to do against Jacksonville, you know, 2 Thursdays ago. And so when you look at his outing coming up on Sunday, I'm interested to see what, you know, which Derrick Henry shows up per se. In other words, being able to put that behind him and moving forward, you know, where his confidence level is, you know, where the consistency part of it is. I'm looking forward to seeing all of that and also seeing how Deion Lewis responds as well.
Yeah, I think, Derrick Henry's confidence should be at an all-time high after the way he performed against the Jaguars. But the other part of that equation is that historically, when he's had a big game and a big game that's included a long run, typically the following week, he has not performed very well statistically. You know, we saw it last year in the postseason when he had the big game against the Chiefs, had over 150 yards rushing and a touchdown. And then the following week against the Patriots, he was a marked man and really didn't produce much at all. As far as Deion Lewis, I think, you know, they need to get back to more of what I think that this duo was designed for early in the year. I think they need to run Derrick Henry in the running downs, and even though that could make you predictable, and they need to use Deion Lewis on screens and the occasional carry. To me, Deion Lewis is a guy that 100 yards rushing for a season, but also have about 400 yards receiving out of the backfield. And Derrick Henry needs to be the guy who's getting the bulk of the straight handoffs and being the bell cow for this offense. That hasn't always been the case, but based on what we've seen, you know, what we saw last Thursday night, I think that's the most effective way for those guys to be used.
As far as the three regular season games remaining for the Tennessee Titans, with the news that Jack Conklin placed on IR, so that means the emergence again of one Dennis Kelly in that position. You know, how do you see the offensive line playing out over the next 3 weeks?
Well, I think a lot of people felt like Dennis Kelly should have been starting anyway, because Jack Conklin had been one of the guys on the line that had shown some inconsistency. So the big problem is that, you know, it does cause your depth to take a hit, because now that Dennis Kelly's moved into the starting lineup, you really don't have a whole lot of experience on the bench in any of those spots. You know, Corey Levin did pretty well in the second half against the Jets when he spelled Quentin Spain and moved to center, putting Ben Jones at guard. Tyler Mayers had one pretty decent game. I think it was against Jacksonville maybe in week two, or Houston in week two, or Jacksonville in week three, and did pretty well there, but he's certainly limited in his experience as well. I don't think they'll drop off any with Dennis Kelly in the starting lineup, but I think you do have concerns that if somebody else gets nicked up in the game, gets banged up and has to come out, what's the move then?
Hey, by the way, before I let you go, I was interested watching and looking at the last meeting between the Titans and Giants, which happened on December 7th of 2014, so just 4 years ago, right? When you look at who started in that game against the Giants, the fact that with exceptions of, you know, Delanie Walker at tight end for the Titans, who's still part of the team, but obviously he's been out since week one. And then on the defensive side, there's Darrell Casey, Derek Morgan, Wesley Woodyard. Basically, everybody's gone.
Yeah, and a lot of those guys, I saw a list of some of the offensive players that had started in that game. And, you know, a lot of those guys probably didn't need to stick around given how bad the 2014 Titans were. I think when you look at the way that that team performed, and only, I think, was that the year they won three games or two games?
The only thing I know is that combined 5-27 that still sticks out to me.
But I think that may have been the year they won two games. So, you know, not exactly a banner season in Tennessee Titans lore there. So it's, you know, kind of very predictable that a lot of those guys would have moved on down the road, shall we say.
Prediction time. What's your prediction for Sunday?
Wow. It's really going to be interesting because, you know, you want to believe in the Titans. You want to think that they've turned the corner, that they're going to make a playoff push here, and they're going to play strong over these last five games. I have predicted them to lose each of the last two games, expecting that to happen. So for the Titans' sake, I'll pick them to lose again, and we'll see what happens on Sunday.
Well, see, I thought
20-16.
I thought they were going to win by double digits against Jacksonville, mainly because Jacksonville, that whole I hate the Titans thing would have been great if it was 7 days after the last time the two teams had taken the field. But on the short week, I think Jacksonville was just trying to make sure that they mentally made the field, much less trying to generate any kind of hatred or whatever. I just felt like the Thursday night game against Jacksonville, it certainly was going to bode well for the Titans, and I expected the double-digit win. But I'm like you. I do not have a good feeling about this game. I think it's going to be an extremely close game. And I know we hear the cliche all the time about turnovers could be the difference. I think a key turnover, certainly with the conditions, with the rain, could be a huge factor in this game on Sunday. But my gut tells me the Giants are going to win a very close game.
Yeah, that's kind of what I feel like, too. I think the Titans will have a chance. And I think, they very well could go up there and pull off this win, but they haven't been a great road team this year. And the Titans, you want to believe in them, but I'm at the point, I've covered this team long enough, and I'm now in show me mode. It's like I'm from Missouri.
I like that. I like where you're